Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about what is wisdom, what is the divine, what is about our soul, what is our purpose here, what is really our path, who am I, and what the heck am I doing here? You know, sometimes so many people say, I'm getting lost in these questions. I hear them all the time. I'm looking out. I'm trying to find answers. I'm on the internet. I'm listening to radio shows. I'm reading all of these books, but yet I'm still not finding the answers. What is the answer? Then we come up with the word truth. What is the truth? Is it the truth? Society's truth? My truth? The universal truth? Who the heck knows these days? All we know is that we get up, we try to go through our day being as kind and polite as possible, then we hit a pothole and it's like, oh, hey, all that goes out the window. How are we living our life? And how are we able to say, can we exist in a state of mind and be able to do our absolute best each day and know that in that present moment, this is our existence, and we are doing the best we can. How can we transform those areas that we wish to say, you know what, kind of don't want to do that dirty dance anymore? So it's all about saying, how can we be happy with our life? How can we create a life that has purpose, has meaning? And how can we say it's not all about what we would have said in the 50s or 60s about how long our obituary can be, maybe it's just about being a great person, doing the best we can. Today my guest is Sarah Wiseman. Her book is Messages from the Divine, Wisdom for the Seeker's Soul. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Oh, I'm super happy to be here. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. Don't you think, Sarah, all of those questions, we hear these you know, you could hear it in conversation at the grocery store lane. You could also hear it in hundreds of emails we get sometimes, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And these questions, these, you know, deep wonderings. I mean, we are not the first generation or generations to ask these. And but the answers start to get different as we move through our human evolution. Our answers start to become different than they were in the past.
Yeah, you know, even one time I had said on the radio show, what happened to humans? We were making pyramids and doing all kinds of alchemy, you know, eons ago. And then along came the cowboys and Indians, and we go, oh, gosh, did we lose part of our mass of our brain, or what? Did we get on some kind of timeline that really went out to lunch? And now we're back up to the internet, and we go, what's going on here, right?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, some people say we may have had a little help during those during those pyramid times. It's hard to know, but
Right.
But, you know, everything evolves. You know, we've evolved in different stages, and we might even say that these shadow times we had were passages that we had to go through to get to where we are now, and then where we are now is a passage to get to where we're going. So, It's all a continued expansion is how I see it.
Hey, you know, I look back on it, and this is my take on it. Actually, it's a funny one. I look back on the pyramid building, and we think, oh, they must have really learned how to master their bodies and be able to keep them going because, wow, they all had good bodies then, you know. They knew how to follow instructions, and they got out there, and they did it. And then we look at the cowboys and Indians. We say, oh, they just had to learn how to be able to duck and dodge. And now I look at us these days, and we say, ooh, we learned the sun's not so great, but, hey, we're we're really good at knowing taglines and, you know, what we could find on the internet. So it's really about using different capacities of our being at different timelines in, you know, in the eons that have gone before. So we may have learned how to master parts of our body, parts of our mind, maybe parts of our soul and our spirit at different unique venues, yes?
Yeah, that's a super interesting way of looking at it. It's almost like we were occupying different paradigms or different, my language would be group thoughts during those mm-hmm. times and during this time, and each different group thought or collective thought created a different talent or a different gift or a different achievement that
right.
was part of moving the whole thing. Kind of like, you know, ants in the colony and
mm-hmm.
some are the helper ants and some are the guard ants and so forth. And, you know, I'm imagining ants, you know, they have these different roles because it helps the whole collective move forward.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we really have no use for pyramids now. We don't have any use for all of that really hard physical work these days. But heck, they
yeah.
wouldn't have any use for to know even more knowledge because they had a dictator and a ruler. So I
right.
think it's really about where we are in the collective and what is being brought forth at this time. And it's just learning to do the dance within it. I think instead of resisting it, sometimes we say, oh, but I want to live out the legacy of my ancestors. I want to make sure that what my grandfather did, I bring it forth and I'm expanding on it. Kind of sometimes you need to leave some of those old legacies behind and create a new each day, yes?
Yeah, and you know, I think part of this generation of, say, baby boomers or younger baby boomers, a lot of what we're dealing with is being left with this legacy of, say, our parents' things. And that's something
right.
I work with people a lot. It's like you don't let go of the legacy just because you let go of the
right.
the 10 teacups with matching saucers that, you know,
mm-hmm.
you really don't have a place for. It's like we can keep valuable parts, which are emotional parts and the spiritual parts, alive without having the object to behold, you know, not be a part of the modern lifestyle or the lifestyle that we want
right.
to live or the lifestyle that's intentional for us now.
I think along came the movie, you know, Frozen is about let go. And I
mm-hmm.
think, you know, I'm in my 60s and I'm just on the edge of, you know, still saving some things for the kids so they'll have something of their memories. And they're like, just pitch that stuff. I don't need it. You
right,
know,
right.
And it, yeah, and it's like I've even had the concept that when I move from this place that I'm currently living in, you know, all I really need to do is take my purse, and heck at that, I don't even need that purse. I'm tired of it. Just take my keys,
mm-hmm.
my phone, my license, and you're out the door. It's
mm-hmm.
sort of
mm-hmm.
like, gosh, to shed all of that. We
yeah,
think
and that,
it's so
yeah.
much easier that said than done. But I think that has our mind fully grasp that idea, because I work a lot with end-of-life clients, and
mm-hmm.
they really believe that their memory is, in other words, they want to shine and reflect a memory so others will, quote, remember them. But yet that's
mm-hmm.
really saying along an existence in a paradigm versus in the moment, do they remember them? Heck, I even
mm-hmm.
say to them, I don't even think they even knew you. Why are you worrying about if they remember
mm-hmm.
you?
Mm-hmm.
They're remembering
mm-hmm. right.
your outside
yeah.
materialistic person, right?
Yeah, well, it's a different, you know, again, it's a different belief system depending on what the generation of our grandparents and parents had
mm-hmm.
different belief systems than we do, and our kids and grandkids have different belief systems than we do, and that's just another example of, you know, we're evolving, every generation is evolving in their understanding of how to be in present moment and how to be
right.
conscious.
You know, I really think I see quite a bit of it on Twitter and on Facebook about this. There's a new epidemic in the elderly, and we're saying elderly is over the age of 50 for this purpose. And it truly is, because
yeah.
What happens is it's an evolution of loneliness.
Yeah.
You will see that hashtag everywhere, loneliness. And it is really profoundly an issue, because I think sometimes the mind shift hasn't said, that you're never mm-hmm. alone, because it's sort of like, well, I mean, heck, I'm 60s, right? And you're going to say all of a sudden, I don't need to worry about everything. I'm in the present moment. I can go out and do my Tai Chi and, hey, you know, give me a little green goop and I'm good to go. And it's all of a sudden, all of your stored memories, all of your essences, all of that you thought you were, your identity, oh, just hit the button and hit delete. We can create a new one. And it's mm-hmm. pretty much shocking to many elders that identity is not the same as what some of the younger people are holding, right?
Yeah, but I would say, my mom is in her mid-80s, and she has been going through more spiritual opening, like in the last year after she downsized her home and et cetera, moved to a smaller place. And it's because of the letting go of all of those identities. It's like we start stacking up those identities from the moment we're born. That's the first part of life. And then the next part of life is peeling off each identity, you know, one by one. And so I don't think that it is definitely, you're right, it's a complete shock to realize what I don't, all this stuff I was taught to believe in, I don't actually need to carry with me. But I believe that there's also a renaissance in a lot of people 80s and over. I don't know what age, but a lot of people are having this, oh my goodness, it's not that what they were taught was wrong. It's just that what they were taught was of the time. And then now that's not something that they're requiring going into the present time. They're just, they can change. They're allowed to change.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we say this awakening or this type of spiritual enlightenment, you know, we always say, you say in your book, it can happen in an instant or take a lifetime. Mm-hmm. Again, your book is Messages from the Divine. And really, I think sometimes when it happens quickly, we may lose people around us. We may lose or have people become distant or have separation from those. And I think that's really where a lot of that loneliness comes in, because sometimes people may leave the earth earlier. Some may go off and get divorces. Gosh, you can't go a day without seeing how many people are getting a divorce around you. It's like, wow, you know? And we say, what is the purpose of life if not to be with another and to kind of coexist in a loving relationship? But yet many say that's the only thing in life. Then they get tied up in that. And then when that falters, I think that's where that's created, yes?
And I think, you know, many people, especially younger people now, we're seeing aren't choosing the path of being in, say, a committed relationship. It's a different way of relating. And so I think that for those who have chosen the path of a committed relationship and placed their life's meaning on that path, then say if someone passes or there's a divorce, again, it's like walking through that next door of, well, that identity was what I had, and then maybe I loved it or maybe I hated it. You know, it just depends on the scenario. But then you walk through the door and it's like, but if that person is gone either by death or by a distance or separation, you know, you still remain. Like you as a being still remain, and then you're invited to go through, oh, I'm still here. I'm still conscious. Now what? What's my next? What's my next act on the stage of life? What am I supposed to be experiencing next? So, yeah. And it's interesting because all of us are going through these different pieces, depending on our age, depending on where we live in the world, depending on our gender. We're going through all of these like great shakeups kind of all at the same time. And many, many people, at least those who are on social media and so forth, are communicating all about it. And even if we're older and we're not, you know, on those methods, we're still feeling it. We're still thinking about it. We're still talking with each other. And so this grand upheaval, everything's changing. It's scary for some, but it's also really exciting because we haven't had this opportunity sort of choose to be ourselves before, for a very long time in history. We were always, you know, under the domination of some system we had to follow. So it's an exciting time, is how I see it.
You know, it's interesting, and I don't speak politics at all on the radio. However, what I do notice is that when people bring up controversial questions or they bring up a pattern or something that was in the past and now it wants to be changed, or they bring up that they want to take it back to where it used to be, I think people get angry and they want to lash out kind of ideas. And I kind of say, isn't that fabulous? Because when those things come up, we say, ooh, something in me has woken up. I realized I don't want to live like that. I do want to change. Or, oh, gosh, I see how they're doing it, but instead of being angry at them with a question or how they want to change it, perhaps maybe you can create something else that might be better, you know? Mm-hmm. I think the idea of all that freedom around, when these things come up in the collective, it may seem like a holy heck and it's breaking loose or there's a lot of chaos, but really you can turn and flip it and say, that's fantastic. Wow, but I think I'd like to do it like this. I just was afraid to say so, yes?
Yeah, and I think people also, when they're faced with the idea of changing, one of the first feelings that comes up, and I call it, the way I look at it is, it's like a cracking open of the heart. It's like letting light come into the heart. And when the light comes in, or when this opening comes in, the first feeling is often pain or fear or anger. Right. It's often an unpleasant emotion. And I think people get nervous because they're like, I don't want more pain. more pain, please. And I think that it's helpful to know that after that first cracking open, it's actually not more pain. It's complete relief and release into this idea of compassion for yourself and for others. And just understanding, like, just go through the pain one little time and it all opens up into different feeling. The minute you just, like you said, in Frozen, you just let it go. You just open up. And what is there is not more pain. We move out of those yucky feelings really quickly when we decide to open.
You know, it's interesting when you talk about, you know, cracking open, allowing the pain. I'm a fan of wailing. I think in the past 10 years, I can honestly tell you I've done quite extensive work with it. And because there was a lot there, and I think, and people say, wailing, why would you want to do that? It's like, it is so freeing when you get done with it. I can remember one period of time where 2 years, every single day, 8 to 5, I was wailing like nobody's business.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody was here, shut the door, shut the windows, and it was just a release like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found was that then when things come along, now maybe 10, 12 years later, the wailing doesn't seem to be there. It may be more for the collective because I sense a lot of the earth energies. And I'll go, oh, why am I feeling that? And it's like, whoa, here comes a wave. And I'll say, is it mine? Mm-hmm. Is it not mine? And
yes,
90%
yes.
It's not mine now. But what I find wailing is really so effective in allowing the energy to flow. And I think sometimes we say, what does that mean? And I would say, when you think about when they have an avalanche, you can hear it the very first 2 seconds. When a tornado comes, you can hear it when it hits the house. When a dam is ready to break, there's such immense, you know, physics in that, so much energy stored up, and all of a sudden it just goes, it just wants to let out. And when you can do that, you're really accepting the concept that your body and your spirit and your mind and your soul and everything that you are is an energetic being versus saying, oh, I'm stuck in this physical domain and I have a head on the bottom of, I mean, the head, you know, on the top and it's all about the mind and, you know, everything else is controlling and there's got to be someone pushing my buttons. When really you can go the other way and say, let's just feel the energy. And wow, once you get on that wave, It is something that, you know, you even say in your book about the mysteries. I think I've been using the word mysteries for about the past, I think,
the
3 months.
Mysteries.
Yeah, the mystery of the body, the mystery of the earth, the mystery of this. And it's like everything is a mystery. But if you accept it's a mystery instead of always having to have the truth, the answers, that's where all the joy comes from.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have to laugh because I'm from the Pacific Northwest. And when you initially said whaling, of course, my mind immediately goes to like the orcas. I'm like, what?
Right.
What? So, no, the whaling, the deep expression of.
Right. And don't they do the same thing? You hear
exactly
them.
Exactly. They do their sonar. Sonar
right. We don't see them.
Yeah.
We hear them. So, yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think this idea of. Walking in the mystery. So my experience has been I was raised by a radically agnostic family who sent me to Catholic school, and I wish I could say, you know, the classic thing to say is, you know, how terrible it was, but for me it was pure magic and mystery because I'd never been exposed to any. You know, we were up on this convent on the hill with the saint statues, and it was beautiful. It was lovely. And I had a lot of, especially being I was an outsider because I was never Catholic. So being in this really deep Catholic experience, but everyone would like say, go to the confession box, and I would have to sit on the bench in the hallway waiting. Everyone could get communion. I wasn't able. So it created this really interesting place of being an observer of my classmates and so forth in these what I considered mystical experiences, but also being separate from because I wasn't in the religion at that time. And also on this it was kind of like on a lot of acres in a very secluded natural spot, and there are a lot of statues of St. Francis Assisi. I guess that was maybe their saint. And I always wondered, like, what does this mean? Like, he's talking to nature or he's with the animals, you know? And as a kid, you're just like, well, what is that about? And so everyone else's mind was really on, like, I don't know, basketball practice. And I was like, what is this about? And I was just fascinated. And so my journey was kind of, I'm not sure that was the kickoff point, but that was a deep journey of like being exposed to this thing that we didn't talk about at home or there was no discussion of at home. And I began to sort of experiment myself in like, well, how did St. Francis do that? You know, I'm no saint.
Right.
I'm no saint, but like, what does that mean? He talked to the animals. And I think that was a big part of this idea of opening up into the flow, as you were saying, of everything and starting to figure out, like, well, how do you connect to that? How do you connect, not as a Catholic or any religion, but just how do you connect on your own to whatever they're talking about? How do you do that? And that's been my whole life journey is figuring out, maybe not always figuring out, but trying to figure out in the dark and the light and the good stuff and the bad stuff, like how do you walk in connection with the universe and what does that even mean? Yeah. And that idea of flow, as you were saying, it's like the word that it's all this, it's continually changing energetic stuff that takes us through across many dimensions and times. And then it's also part of our just nitty gritty day to day, you know, doing the dishes, getting the kids off, whatever it is you have to do. So that's just an interesting, it just took me back there for some reason. Sorry. I don't know where I went with that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's so interesting when you say that, because I grew up as a, you know, Roman Catholic, and pretty much it was a rather challenging childhood. But I can remember when I had gone one time on one of these, I think it was something, maybe for a day, and it was supposed to be at the monastery, and I went there. And then at the end of the day, you know, they're all singing, you know, you're singing with the monks and everything and all this other stuff, and kind of like, you know, retreat kind of idea. I can't even think of the words now. Anyway, but, and it was definitely Catholic, and all I remember from that experience, from that day and that evening, was after it, I went, after they were singing, I saw the priest leave, and I was kind of like running behind him to try to catch him. And I don't recall what I asked him or anything else after it. All I remember is one sentence. He said, "Are you asking for me for an exorcism?" And I'm going, "What the heck? Where did this come from?" You know what I mean? And I think about it, how unique all of my experiences in my life have been. And I think when you share it also in your book, it's about, look at these unique times when you say something that turned your head that said, "Whoa, what was that? Whoa, what was that?" You know, I remember playing the organ when I was, you know, in fifth grade and pushing the pedals so it'd be so loud on this grand big organ, you know, to sing the Latin Mass with the priest. And then one day I came in and all of a sudden the altar was turned around and he was facing the people and he was speaking in English. And I was going, "Oh, I don't like this. I want the mystery back. You know, I don't want this stuff. Get that guitar out of the Catholic Church," you know, and because because these things were just, there was something to just dance with the world, and it was just so unique. And I mean, I have millions of those stories, and it's where I think sometimes we go through life and we say, we blow off when someone says something, or when you yourself say something, or when we see something out there and we just let it go. And it's like, grab on to those little things that are so unique and say, "That is so cool," you know?
Well, and I like to look at these events in our lives as, to my mind, we are guided, like you were guided, or you were in flow state at the exact moment that you were running behind the priest. You know, 1 second earlier, he might have disappeared around the bend. 1 second later, who knows, you know. But this idea that the universe is always helping us grow, I see us as the universe is trying to help us expand our soul selves in our human bodies. And so these events are like one event. And if we're working in flow, the universe is going to take us to these events. It's like the next doorway that we walk through. Oh, and then the universe takes us to this event. Oh, there's the next doorway. And you're easily and effortlessly going through these doorways in your life. And it's not the doorways that society says, "Oh, you get your degree, you get married."
They're not linear.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, they're not linear.
And they're not ambition-based either. They're experience-based. They're having the experience in the moment that is so amazing, that you're just struck with awe and love and beauty, and living in those kinds of moments one after another is really, as I see it, the purpose of our life, just trying to stay in those states of awe and almost like grace states all the time. Now, you know, life is life and it doesn't happen all the time, but we can move to connect with the universe so that we have more of those rather than less. And then after that, we start having even more. It's like the more we have, the more we begin to have. The more we expand, the more expansion we experience. And we just kind of keep moving in that way.
You know, it's interesting. I think once you get over and start shedding a lot of this old identity that you may have stacked up and all of this other stuff in your life, and you just see life as moment-to-moment living, you really are creating a multidimensional existence in the moment. And I would always say there's no such thing as ADD. You know, it's like ADD is really saying that I can see many multidimensions in 1 minute. You know, and the funniest part was the other day, I guess that thought had come into my head again for some reason. And I was in the kitchen, and our kitchen is so tiny. It's like you could fit two bodies in there and that's it, and you could be touching both sides of the counter. So, mm-hmm. but it was funny because I was making dinner and a friend was helping me, and they don't like to take direction. They just don't like to be told what to do. And I'm super good at, I mean, I can get a meal out of almost nothing in the house, and I can put it on the table and it'll look great and very much in an efficient manner. And I'm like, stir this. They're stirring. And then I say, okay, drop the spoon, pour this water over there. And it's like, okay, shut off the water, empty this box, move that over. And it was like, mm-hmm. I mean, ADD people can be the best short order cooks because they can stop and start on a dime. And I think mm-hmm. sometimes we say, oh, but I have to be invested in the end result. I need to get my degrees. I need to go to school so I can do this when I'm older, have money, and then retire. I think when we get mm-hmm. stuck in sometimes action to an end result, and it has to be linear, and that's the way it has to go, that's sometimes when we get stuck in what I call the silo, S-I-L-O, of life, mm-hmm. where we can't see all of this glorious mystery around us and engage in it. We're so stuck in that silo, don't you think?
Yeah, and I like, so I'm assuming you use the silo, one, because they're like lonely out in the field, and aren't silos also like these little grain storage, like you're kind of
right.
hoarding your grain?
Yeah, like, it's like you're holding
grain.
On to everything.
Yeah, my grain, yeah.
And even your mind like, can't yeah. even conceptualize of anything because that all that's in the silo is corn.
Yeah. Yes,
you know
yeah.
what you know what you know, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think there's two parts because we don't, at least I don't think there's a value necessarily in saying, okay, nothing's worth doing, nothing's worth trying, I'm only going
right.
to live in the moment. I believe that we are here, each person that I believe is made up as soul, personality, and body, like we're given this little trifecta package because we're here to do our own unique soul calling as part of a soul in the collective. You know, we're here for a reason. We're coming to do a task or to achieve our personal, authentic vision of what we're here to do. And so I think that finding your soul calling and following that, but following it in a way so that you're guided to this vision of what your life will be. And it's your vision. It's not, mm-hmm. you know, your parents' vision or your grandparents' vision or the school's vision or the company's vision. It's how you are guided. Maybe you receive this in meditation. Maybe you're walking in the forest. Maybe as a child you've always known, you know, like in my case, I'm supposed to be a writer. I've known that since I held a pen. I've known that. Each person has their own thing that they know. But so we follow our vision in this sort of general way. This is my soul's calling. But then we do that in a way of, okay, I'm going to let the universe lead me. I'm going to let the universe put these synchronistic events in my path or experiences my path that take me to the place of my soul calling. Like, I'm guessing that priest that you mentioned,
right.
he was part of one of those little events that led you to your soul's calling of, you know, being a teacher and being a radio host as
right.
you are now. It's like it's all part of you moving towards your own vision and your own calling.
And I think it's also too, don't you think, though, to be open to it? I think sometimes we get scared and we say, I don't know what that means. And we see a lot
mm-hmm.
of people clamoring to intuitives. I mean, you know, they come to me, you know, for health things. I see something. I don't know what it is. It must mean something. You know, how
mm-hmm.
can I get out of it? How can I fix it rather than go through it and
right.
experience it? And I think you run to psychics, intuitives, medical doctors. Even I put on Twitter the other day, they said that there was a great shortage of doctors now, and it's incredible. And I said, are we really having a shortage of physicians, or are we having more patients clamoring and going to multiple physicians and specialists to get out of the place of pain in which they're in?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, you know?
Yeah. Well, and this idea of, this idea that someone else has the answer for you, I don't believe that I think that there's great gifts in same religion. If you're a person who loves a religious practice, if you are a person who prefers to have a spiritual practice of your own, but this idea that anyone else can provide you with the answer is incorrect. The way that the universe asks us is to have direct connection with the universe, and that means you and the universe, no middleman or middlewoman in between. It's just, and there's so many ways we can do this, and we haven't talked about the idea of people from or guides from other realms, but there are guides, and there's nature, and there's events and synchronicities, and all of these things are continually ways that we can connect in. We can connect in through meditation or prayer or going within, or we can connect out to just what's going on in our world and the people around us who are often our master teachers. It has to be each soul on their own soul path figuring this stuff out and going to a psychic or whoever, whatever expert. It's like they don't have the answer. You have the answer yourself. Right. There's no reason to think that you don't have it. You do have it.
Do you think
you do have it?
Right, but you know what I think so too is that they don't always have to find an answer in the language in which we're currently experiencing. I always say, there's 27 letters to the alphabet, and over eons, everybody in this entire existence has taken those 27 letters, threw them up in the air, and they keep meaning something different. So if your answer is coming up as something else that you don't recognize, take it as a mystery and just accept it and move on instead of trying to get it to conform to that which you think you should have or that you've experienced before or that history or pattern, or it's sort of like it walks like a duck, it quacks like a duck, it must be a duck idea, say, well, hey, you know what? That might not be a duck. I think that might be a bird that's just sitting down on the ground and, oh my gosh, it's playing with the dog, So the idea of can you see a rainbow that's not shaped like a rainbow? It's an upside down rainbow now today. And you're like, oh, cool. I think we get fear so much sometimes.
Yeah. And this idea of letting go of, I teach people in intuition quite a bit. In the book, is the whole second part of the book is about how to receive from all the various inner and outer sources.
Right.
But that's one of the things that happens is like we'll say to someone, okay, we're going to do meditation and we're going to put up an image in our mind's eye. And if it's red, people think, they jump to this thought, it's an apple, but maybe it's not an apple. Look at what's there. Maybe it's red and it's round and it's a cherry. I'm just, and maybe cherry has some deep meaning, their parents were cherry farmers or, I don't know, but we don't jump to the conclusion of having attachment to what the universe is trying to tell us or give us. And I've found in my own life, obviously I'm doing intuitive practices all the time to receive guidance, but then that universe is so tricky. It always just pops this thing that is new and different that I never maybe would have dreamed of right down there in my lap. And it's like, I hadn't even envisioned this. I hadn't even thought of this. This is way better than I'd imagined in my case. And this idea of being really open to being guided and being in flow state so that when these like gorgeous gifts come, we can we're actively following the breadcrumbs, which is another word for flow state. We're like ready for it. We can have it there right in front of us.
It's almost like life is almost like, you know, have you ever seen the cooking show on TV, the mystery box, and you get some items, and then halfway through when you're making your meal, uh-huh. and you think, oh, I got this nailed. I know what I'm going to make. They throw in another mystery thing, and you have to go off on another tangent. See, so that's exactly what I was saying before about the multi dimensions, mm-hmm. and you know, an ADD type thing is that, you know, you're going along a pattern because you thought you mastered it, and all of a sudden you get another little thing that comes in and you say, ooh, I like to go down that way. Mm-hmm. way. You know, mm-hmm. so many times people use the phrase, we need to get to the root of the problem. I'll say, I did not know a tree only had one root. Good luck with that.
Right.
And I kind of just walk away and chuckle because it's like, it really is not the experience. I think, why are we always going backwards when we think of a root? I like to see, why are the leaves shining to the sun? Then you think mm-hmm. of the stars. Then you think of the universe. In other words, an expansiveness out that way versus always going backward, you know?
I love that idea of the root. So I'm, I live in the forest. I'm surrounded by these trees. And like the roots, say, of an of a maple tree. Maples grow in groves, and their roots mm-hmm. are, you know, they the roots are as extensive as the tree tops. They go in there, and they're all entangled with each other, and then they spread, like, into the earth and into the rest of the roots of the trees around them, and so everything is in this web of connection, and so there's no one taproot that never, that's the silo root that never touches anything.
Right.
We're all like interconnected with everything else. And so you go down to one root and you're going to see, oh, like there's many, many, many parts at play. And that's that idea. We can't keep track of it. We have to just walk in the mystery, open to what's arriving.
Yeah. You know, I'm a naturopathic physician, and they always use that mantra, you know, get to the root cause, and it's like, mm-hmm. oh, no, I don't think so.
Yeah.
It's and then, you know, physicians or holistic doctors are now trying to tagline it, and I'm going, oh, okay, all right, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So just, I think what you and I are really sharing, though, Sarah, is all about the mystery of everything. I think that's where the greatest joy and the greatest experience of every part of our being would light up. It's not just our mind giving us, you know, answers or our body fulfilling a process. It's like really engaging in everything that life has to bring, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely. And this is where we find joy, and this is where we find these heightened experiences that, again, they just crack open our hearts. And We find meaning when our hearts are opened. That's just how it works. When our hearts are opened, we're just filled with love and grace. And that is, we want more of that in our lives all the time.
And, you know, I think about it when we, when I work with clients on end of life, I say, you know, welcome every moment. And they're, but, oh, they want to close in, you know, elders type two. Mm-hmm. You know how you see mm-hmm. people in wheelchairs and stuff, they're closed in, they're closed down, they're shut. It's almost like they've reverted to the fetal position that which of what mm-hmm. they came. And I say, mm-hmm. oh, gosh, can we just open these up, you know, can we, you know, when you see pictures of angels, they've got their arms spread out wide mm-hmm. and they're mm-hmm. looking up to the sky, same as children angels, you know, it's, so to each day welcome the, you know, welcome in everything in that. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, even when I'm talking, it's like you could just, you almost feel this like, oh, just open your arms out. It's like it just kind of flows, and it's something you can't always have words for. It's just something you feel, and it just, it kind of gets you excited and everything. And it's not just, mm-hmm. oh, my day is ready to start, you know, and you're quickly looking through your calendar. I think really your book, again, Messages for the Divine, is really about how to explore all these mysteries and how to say, you know, okay, well, this is great for me and this doesn't work for me and that does, and just to engage mm-hmm. in it, each practice you list, yes?
Yes, and how to connect directly to the universe or the divine in your own way, in a way that that you enjoy, that gives you those feelings. How your own soul can walk on that path mm-hmm. toward expansion without following, you know, directly directly having this communication.
Well, Sarah, it was such a pleasure talking to you today. Could you please share how to find out more information about you and your work? That would be wonderful.
Yeah, so this book, Messages from the Divine, will be out shortly. And I'm offering also a lovely, lovely, it's a seeker's guide. It's an 11-week online course to go with the book. And it's free. I just wanted people to have a way to access the book as a study guide. Either they work on it by themselves, or they can get a group to get, you know, get some friends together and work on it that way. So if they go to sarahweisman.com, they will see the link for the book that you can pre-order now, and also this free 11-week online seeker's guide that you can take at any time as part of your way of moving through the material.
And Sarah, I think that also, too, what you really share is about being able to what we really share, you and I, is really about holding out a hand. It's saying, let's try this, or it's okay, mm-hmm. kind of idea. And I think a lot of times when we have a compassionate eye or an empathic heart, it's about being able to say, you know what, it's okay. Listen to our stories. Don't they sound cool? And that kind mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. sets us along a mystery of reading again, of opening up to what's out there instead of saying, I'm afraid to explore that, you know? And it's mm-hmm. being able to be open, yes?
Yes, and it can be as simple as sitting in a park for 5 minutes and just right. noticing what you notice. And that's a little beginning part of becoming open, or closing your eyes and listening to some beautiful music and letting your emotions sort of rise up. Just as these simple little things we can put into our lives that bring that opening and lead to more opening.
Absolutely. And Sarah, you also have a newsletter on your website?
Yes, I do. I have the Daily Divine. It's not exactly daily because I can't do that yet, but it's a couple days a week, and that's also a free gift for folks who want to get some free spiritual teachings in their inbox.
Well, Sarah, it was such a pleasure to have you with us here to share today. Thank you so much for being with us.
Yes, thank you so much for having me on your show, Dr. Jeanette.
Well, you're welcome. If you'd like to find out more information about Sarah Weisman, again, her book is Messages from the Divine, Wisdom for the Seeker Soul, please do click on the bottom of today's show page and go directly to her website for more information. Please do sign up for her newsletter. You'll find out some great information. And it's able to say, you know, I can take this message for today and say, you know what, that was really cool. Or maybe it's, oh my gosh, I didn't even realize that. And I noticed that the other day. Isn't that cool too? Always look around for the messages the universe is sharing with you, and we will guide you along the way. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and until tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discuss many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.